The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
Josh Pick is the Chief Investment Advisor with Aptus Wealth Management, a state-registered investment advisory firm. This program is sponsored by Aptus Wealth Management. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals to see if any ideas expressed would fit their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities can fluctuate and when redeemed may be more or less than when originally invested.
You are listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley here with Josh Pick of Aptus Wealth Management, and they offer you a free consultation at Aptus if you have questions about retirement investing, arriving at financial independence later on in life. Lots of ways to view it, but it's very important that you have a fiduciary, somebody who is legally obligated to look out for your best financial interests on the case of growing your money, because very few of us can just save what we make, not grow it at all. And be ready for those challenges that come on later in life, whether it's long-term health care, whether it's the kind of home you want to live in or the vacations you want to take or just enjoying life, paying your bills. 614-917-1040 to set up your free consultation with Josh and the Aptus team. You can also set up your appointment online. Their website is Aptus Wealth Management, APTUS, Aptus Wealth Management. Their physical offices are in Lewis Center, Ohio, which is not far from the 27023 interchange, and they are located right off Route 750, which is about, I guess, maybe 2 miles, 3 miles north of 23 and 270. And Josh joins me every Monday at 12:30 p.m. for Money Monday on the Bruce Hooley Show, 12:30 p.m. on 98.9 The Answer. And when I saw this headline preparing for the show, Josh, I thought of you. It's a survey from Bankrate.com. I don't know anything about Bankrate, but they do a lot of these kinds of surveys. And the headline caught my eye. Survey says, not Family Feud, but it says, 68% have made a financial sacrifice to help their adult children with money. 68% of people with these are baby boomers who are supporting their Gen Z and young millennial children. And the story goes on about kids thinking they shouldn't have to pay any bills until they're 22 or 23 years old, and they have student debt and this, that, and the other. And I thought, well, if anybody could tell me whether this is true or not, you deal with a lot of retirees. Does that headline have an element of truth to it, or do you hear that and go, well, not the people I deal with?
I see it all the time. I can't verify that it's 68% or whatever that percentage was, but it's very, very significant. And, you know, I think on the surface, you can draw a lot of conclusions as to why that might actually be logical, but I think there's some pitfalls there too. For example, if you're a parent and you have an adult child, and let's say that that person's 30 years old and they're starting a family, and here we are in this economy where, you know, you got to make a heck of a lot more money, even in inflation-related dollars today, than you had to do before because of, you know, the cost of housing and the cost of food and all the things that we've talked about on the show so many times. And then you look at, you know, you need a dual income to even support the family, but that dual income now requires that you send your children to a daycare, which as somebody who has three kids, I'm very, very aware of how much that costs. You know, you might be saying, we've had a great life and we're in a fortunate position where we can help out. And why would we want our kids to struggle? So we're going to help them out. Just get over this hurdle. We just need to get over this hurdle. Hey, they racked up this credit card debt. As soon as I pay off this credit card for them, then they're going to be smooth sailing. Now, the unfortunate reality of that and what I've seen is that's very rarely true.
Mm.
Unfortunately, when bad behavior, and I'm speaking of credit racking up a credit card debt or something like that, when bad behavior is exonerated by bailing somebody out, a lesson is not learned. And you might say, well, who cares? I got plenty of money. What am I going to do? Leave it to him when I'm dead? I'd rather see him enjoy it. Fair enough. But if you have two children, or your child and their spouse and their kids are living on $75,000 a year, and you are supplementing that, and now they're living on $100,000, there is only one thing worse than struggling, and that's struggling, living the easy life, and then struggling again. Mm. So if for the next 20 years of your life, you let them live far beyond their means, and then you die, well, now you can't help them at all, and they're in a position where they might even have outkicked their ability to live. I have several clients who, without the parents, would not be able to afford the house they're living in. Mm. So what would happen if that parent died? They just got to move because they're living beyond their means.
Interesting. Let's define the terms here. Millennials are people born 1981 to 96, so people 27 to 42 years of age. Gen Z, born 1997 to 2012. So those are a lot of Gen Z is just barely now getting out into the workforce. And it almost strikes me that when you're having these conversations with people who have retired and they're now footing some of the bills or providing maybe a lifestyle in excess of what their children can afford on their own, there's a blurred line there between financial advice and life advice. And I would imagine that's a hard line to trot because you're a retirement specialist and, you know, you're dealing with an emotional issue. But when people are financing their children, which is certainly their right to do, they are impacting their ability to save for retirement because some of that money could be devoted to their own resources and growing their own resources.
Yeah. And clearly, I'm not going to tell somebody how to spend their own money.
Right.
But what I can do, and what I oftentimes see, is people are spending more money than they can afford on their children, who oftentimes are living on more than they are. I'll give you an example. I have, in the past, I had a couple of clients. Husband's an attorney. Wife is a doctor. They make several hundred thousand dollars a year. They live in a beautiful, very expensive home. And mom is living on like $30,000 a year in the home she's lived in for the last 65 years. And she pays for vacations and pays for the grandkids' cell phone bills and all this stuff. And she's living like a hermit.
Mm.
And if she continues, you know, I had a conversation with her and I said, you know, if you don't die when you think you're going to die,
mm-hmm.
we're going to hit a wall. You're going to run out of money. And it's because you're funding the cell phone bills for your grandkids. What's more important, your food yeah. when you're 85 years old or the fact that your 12-year-old has a cell phone? It doesn't make any sense. I run into people who are in their 60s that still have student loan debt from their kids. Their kids have been out of college for 20 years.
Wow.
But it's because they took on debt that they couldn't afford and they had to sign up for a payment plan that took them 20 or 30 years because their kids decided to go get a degree that cost $200,000 and they couldn't afford it. So their parents took on $100,000 worth of student loan debt. Now, I would suggest that if you take on that much student loan debt, it's because you were following an occupation that might have paid you well. Well, maybe bail your parents out at some point because mm-hmm. you're drowning them.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not trying to, again, I have three kids. I want to help out my kids as much as I can. I understand the heartstrings. I understand all of that. And it's certainly a delicate balancing act. But if I can show you that it's going to run you aground, maybe you want to pull back a little bit on the, we need to take everybody to Disney for $25,000 if you're not going to have enough money to pay your car payment in 10 years.
Yeah, so much of investing and successful investing and arriving at a place where you can help the people you love and you can provide the kind of life that you want or meet the bills that come along that are either expected or unexpected. And we've talked before about the growing reality of long-term healthcare costs coming. So much of all of that is discipline, having a plan, working a plan, and that's what they help you with. At Aptus, when you sit down for that free consultation, is you put the wheels in motion to start coming up with a plan that you'll understand, that you can work, and that will deliver results for you. You can set up that consultation by calling them at 614-917-1040. You can also make your appointment online on their website, Aptus Wealth, A-P-T-U-S, aptuswealth.com. Generally, are there... things you've discovered over the years when you're talking to clients, potential clients, that are able to ingrain the kind of discipline and the kind of regimen that they need to get away from bad habits before they experience some kind of a catastrophic outcome or before they get a big scare, because generally humans are people that we might know what we should do, but oftentimes we don't do it until we're forced to do it. How about setting those, how about getting people off a bad course and getting them onto a good course? You do a lot of research, you show people a lot of numbers, you have different tracks and arcs that you can show them how their money can grow if they make this decision or that decision. Does that resonate with clients?
It can, but I think you also have to have, and this is the real big argument between, you know, working with an advisor, I think, to some degree, and working just with, I'm going to open up an account directly with an online system. Everybody's different, and you have to get to know the people that you're working with and cater that plan or that move, that gradual shift for them. And for some people, myself, for example, I'm a pretty disciplined guy. If you tell me what to do and you tell me the outcome, I'm just going to do it. That's just who I am. Other people, you tell me what to do, you tell me how to do it, and I'll say I'll get to it, and then you'll never get to it. Or, you know, it's like there's a reason why gyms are in business, and it's because, not because of the people who are actually there, it's because of the other 70% of the people that are paying the bill that don't ever go, but they signed up on January 1, and they were also going to eat perfect, and that's just not reality. So what we try and do is show the path, but don't show it in a way that is overwhelming and a drastic change. If somebody's used to living on $5,000 a month and you know they need to save $1,000 a month, or there's no way they're going to get to their goals, and you say, okay, we're just going to shift this up, you're going to start saving $1,000 a month, they'll do it for 2 months and then they'll turn it off and never turn it back on again. So how do we take it from you're currently saving 100? Let's gradually tick that up. Well, there's a few ways. Way number one would be automatically add increases maybe every 6 months. So we're going to go from 100 to 200, and then it's going to go to 220, 230, 240, and it just keeps on ratcheting up. The other would be, and this is the easiest way I would suggest for people to save more and more money, anytime you get a raise, save half of it, spend half of it. Don't save all of it, because if you save all of it, you'll go, well, what the heck am I working so hard for? Yeah. Every raise I get, I don't get to actually enjoy any of it. And then you'll start drawing those, you know, they don't put luggage racks on Hertz's. Why am I saving all my money, right? You'll start having that internal dialogue and go, I'm not going to save any of it. I'll save the next one. Just save half of it. Or if you get a 4% raise, increase your contribution to your 401k by 2% and spend the rest and have fun with it. Go buy something fun. Make sure you get rewarded for that, but also save. And when I say save, I think we probably need to change that a little bit too. Don't save, invest.
Invest, yeah.
There's a difference between saving and investing. And saving, nobody has ever gotten rich by saving money. You cannot get rich with a 0.0% rate of return by putting the money under the mattress. You have to invest in something.
Yeah, no doubt. We've talked before about the power of compound interest, and all this can be easily illustrated to you when you go in for your free consultation at Aptus. Again, they're located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750, not far from 23 and 270, and their office number is 614-917-1040. When I think about the different asset allocations that you have, I'm sure one of the prime misconceptions you may battle when people come in is, do they anticipate that you have one particular favorite investment vehicle? Oh, are you an annuity guy, or are you a stock market guy, or are you a bond guy, or whatever? Because I know that you have all those vehicles open to you, and that's part of being a fiduciary, is to do what's what's legally best for your client. So is that one of the common misperceptions that people have when they come in? I want to know what your vehicle is, and what are you going to try to get me to buy?
Yeah, I mean, and they've been conditioned to think that way, so I don't fault anybody for thinking that way. I mean, you can go to, if you wanted to, if you were 60 years old right now, you can probably eat for free somewhere in Columbus at some seminar a couple times a week, right? And what usually happens at those seminars, and I'm not picking on anybody, there's some great seminars out there, and I suggest, you know, go expand your knowledge, go to all of them if you want to. But you will find that there is a certain category where everybody's trying to pitch a certain widget, whatever that is, whether it's an annuity. And it's very obvious if you're in the business when you go. Within the first 10 minutes, you go, I know where this is going. When in reality, there's benefits and downsides to all of those things. And I think we've also been conditioned where if you go to, and I'm not picking on Vanguard, but if you go to a Vanguard or you go to your 401k, for that example, for instance, you know, they ask you seven questions, and that apparently defines you and how you should invest. How old are you, and when do you want to retire? Well, this is where you should be. When in reality, that doesn't take into account a lot of things. Like, for example, a good question would be, if you lost 50% of your money this year, what would you do?
That's a question that they ask, or you're asking me?
Well, you need to ask that question. Now, what they'll usually do is say, with all of these questionnaires, they'll say, would you rather have a 10% rate of return with a potential loss of 20, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
and they'll give you four choices.
Right.
And usually three choices. And I'm going to tell you definitively that if I gave you those three choices, you, like everybody else on the planet, will pick the one in the middle. Everybody picks the one in the middle. I don't want to be too conservative. I don't want to be too aggressive.
I want to be in the middle. Sure.
That doesn't mean it's the right choice for you. The reality is you got to dive deeper into the questions and give trajectories and say, in real life, this is what this would look like. And sometimes we lie to ourselves. Somebody will say, I put the blinders on. I never look at this stuff. And then you look at their statement and you look at their trading activity and go, this is totally untrue. Every time the market goes down, I hate to be the bearer of bad news for you, but, or somebody says, I'm very conservative. And you look at their account and they have 12 stocks
Yeah.
12 stocks. That's not conservative.
No.
So I think, you know, it's very important to give people an education lesson, let them know what it is you do, dispel a lot of myths, talk through the pros and cons of everything, and also let them know that you're not disproportionately compensated for anything that we're talking about. So I'm not going to try and pitch you an annuity because I make a whole bunch of money. I'm not going to try and pitch you my favorite portfolio because I make more money on that.
Mm-hmm.
I make the same amount of money whatever we do. I'm trying to cater what is best for you and what you're actually going to be comfortable with in the long run. So when we do these projections, they actually come true. Because I can show you all the projections in the world, and if you don't stick to it, it's no different than me saying, if you eat this way and work out this way, you're going to lose this much weight, and then you just don't do it. Well, what's the point of even spending the time going through it?
Sure. You know, and as I think of the people who are coming into Aptus, big spectrum of age range, could be, at least. I mean, we'd love to have 20-year-olds coming in, you know, or 22-year-olds out of college, get a good job, discipline, start a plan. We better have people in their 50s and 60s who are bearing down on retirement, and they're getting really serious about it. So is it true that there's an investment type that will work for everyone depending where they are on that continuum to approach retirement? Or are we in an environment right now where, as I've said before, you can find a headline that says, oh, recession coming, you know, watch out, sky is falling, or, oh, we're on the verge of a real, you know, bull market. Is it true that instead of at any point in time, an investment category will work for someone depending upon where they are in that continuum? Or is it that, no, because of market conditions, you need to be in one of these two, three, or four types of investments at this point?
Yeah, I think, and Warren Buffett says this as well. Obviously, we quote him a lot, but he has a lot of great quotes.
Mm, he's a good reason to quote him.
Yeah, no doubt. He says that if you don't know what you're doing, just buy an index fund, keep on contributing to it, rinse and repeat over and over again, pick your head up in 40 years and you'll be happily rewarded. And to the most, and you know, I would go a little bit step further than that. I wouldn't put it all in the S&P 500, but there mm-hmm. are plenty of what we call life strategy funds or target date funds, which simply say that if you plan on retiring in 2050, you just buy the 2050 fund. And what that means is that it allocates it according to where that particular fund company believes you should be. And then it gradually changes it as you get closer and closer to that end zone, which means it gets a little bit more conservative as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad strategy. It's not the best strategy, but it's not a bad strategy. So if you're listening to this and you go, you know, I have a 401k and I don't really want to, you know, go in and meet with anybody or for whatever reason, and I don't really know what any of this stuff is. Just look at your 401k. And if it has a fund that says the, you know, you're 50 years old and you're going to retire when I'm 65, that's 15 years from now. Do the math and say, that's the fund I'm going to invest in. That's a pretty sound strategy, quite frankly. However, if you actually know what you're doing, what value does a money manager bring to the table? Well, if you do that other strategy that I talked about, when the market does well, you're going to do exactly what the market does. When the market does poorly, you're going to do exactly what that does. And you're not trying to beat the market. You're just trying to match the market and hopefully the market does well. Are you managing volatility? Are you managing who is the best fund in that category? So, for example, and I use this name a lot, but Neuberger Berman's got a tremendous value fund. Now, I'm not sponsored by Neuberger Berman. I don't get paid extra for Neuberger Berman. I don't think Neuberger Berman has the best funds in the world. They're a company out of Chicago, by the way. But when you look at large cap value mutual funds, that's a darn, I mean, they're top of the food chain in that category every year for decades. Okay, so if I went to the Neuberger Berman and I said, I would like to have a lifestyle fund, this 2045 fund, they're going to use all Neuberger Berman funds. Okay, so they have one really, really good fund and then others that are kind of mediocre. So what are you going to get as performance?
You're going to get one fund that maybe be 20% of your portfolio do well and the other 80% will do average.
Average, right? So what is the value in what we do? Well, we're still going to create that same type of strategy with an added element of also looking at economic conditions and leaning into risk and away from risk at times. But we're also going to pick the best investments amongst all of the investments that are out there. So you might have Neuberger Berman and Vanguard and American Funds and all, you know, Dodge and Cox and all these different fund companies that are the best in their respective category, right? I mean, you don't go to Honda to get the best diesel truck. They don't even have a diesel truck, right? At least not in the residential space. So, you know, you might go to them because you want a really fuel efficient sedan. They're really good at reliable fuel efficient sedans. But if you just said, I'm going to outfit my whole fleet amongst, I'm going to need some backhoes and I'm going to need all that, you wouldn't go to Honda.
No.
And I'm not picking on Honda, but that's kind of what you end up doing when you pick these lifestyle funds. It doesn't mean they're bad. I'm just saying you could do better.
Yeah. And the thing that my wife and I learned when we went in with Josh and I, you know, look, I do a radio show every day and I read the internet. I do a lot of research. I think I'm as informed as, you know, maybe on the leading edge or above the curve, maybe of being aware of things going on in financial markets. I got to tell you, when I went in, the option that Josh presented to us, which was an investment vehicle where we could get not all the gains of a market, not all the losses of a market, but somewhere in between, I didn't even know that was available. And you might be sitting there going, well, you're a dope. I knew that was available. Okay, great. Fantastic. I love, you know, people being informed. But, you know, I'm not ready to retire in the next 2 years, but I'm also not able to withstand a big mistake that would hurt my retirement savings and set me back 20 years. So for Sherry and I, peace of mind was really important. And I just think that, you know, if people are afraid of coming in, talking about this, that, the other, whatever, I can just assure you that it's not scary. You do learn things, whether you become a client or not. Knowledge is power, and you should go after as much as you can because there are very few things in life that are as important as not wasting all the time that you've been working and working toward a situation in your life where you're able to pay the bills that might come at you. And one of the things that we've talked about is that people, my parents' generation, they didn't budget for long-term care. And long-term care is becoming a real necessity, reality for at least a husband or a wife, at least one of them. That's pretty common now.
Absolutely. And you know, to speak to long-term care and what you said, I didn't know that this product was available. I'm not going to tell your whole financial situation, of course, but that was one of four different legs on the stool that we did. So that's just one thing. And I believe, if I recall correctly, that two of the four you had never even heard of before.
Right.
Well, similarly, when you look at long-term care, everybody's aware that it's expensive and everybody's aware that I can go buy insurance to cover it. And everybody's aware that that insurance is atrociously expensive and they probably won't be able to afford it and they don't even want it. Maybe they can't even qualify for it. But there are other options in the middle. And those options, the sooner that you start looking at them, the less costly and the more time you have to change where you're at to actually make that work. But most people don't even know what the options are. And most people are afraid to even ask about it because they assume it's going to cost a bunch of money. Part of the beauty of the blueprint process is you get to kind of lift up the hood and learn a lot about the engine with essentially no obligation. We're going to help you out. We're going to point you in a good direction. We don't know if it's going to be a good fit or not. But you will know more when you leave than you did when you got there.
Yeah, imagine if you went to a restaurant and they gave you a menu that had three items on it. And you picked one of the three and the food was okay. And then you talked to a buddy who went to the same restaurant and he said, oh, I had this. And you're like, well, what? They didn't even offer me that. Well, that's a little bit of what it's like if you're operating in your own sphere of knowledge And not going in and learning from somebody like Josh, a fiduciary legally obligated to do what's best for you, all the options that are out there. You don't have to pick them. You don't even have to become a client, but at least arm yourself with that knowledge. A free consultation available to you, no obligation. Set it up at Aptus, 614-917-1040. Make your appointment online, aptuswealth.com. Josh, thanks for your time. We'll see you again next week.
You as well. Thanks.
Josh Pick is the Chief Investment Advisor with Aptus Wealth Management, a state-registered investment advisory firm. This program is sponsored by Aptus Wealth Management. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals to see if any ideas expressed would fit their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities can fluctuate and when redeemed may be more or less than when originally invested.
Thanks for joining us on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. Glad to have you along. Bruce Hooley, Josh Pick with you. And for the next half hour, we will be discussing how to grow your nest egg, arrive at financial independence as you approach retirement. Aptus located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750, not far from the 23270 interchange. They offer you the opportunity for a free, no-obligation consultation to talk about retirement with them. Discuss your approach to investing, what you've done, their approach to investing, and maybe you'll reach the same conclusion my wife and I did, and that is that Aptus made perfect sense for us to manage and grow our retirement. Set up your consultation by calling their office, 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040, or you can make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. And I've seen stories recently, Josh, where retirees who are already in the midst of retirement talked about not understanding that they would have been in a better position if they had vehicles that generated income for them while they were in retirement. Is that what people mean when they talk about active income from retirement as opposed to passive income from retirement, where would passive income just be withdrawing from a nest egg? I'm not sure I have that definition of active versus passive correct.
Yeah, and we hear passive income so often, you know, get a side hustle, passive income.
Well, okay,
Get rental property, get sure. Passive income, whatever the passive is. I mean, by definition, active income is the income that you make from working, and passive income is the income that you make while you're not working. And I think Warren Buffett said that if you can't figure out a way to make money while you're sleeping, then you'll work for the rest of your life, but you know, what I see, and I'm probably going to give a much longer answer than you want to this, but what I see is when people invest their money in whatever vehicle they're investing in, people are ignoring the income generation and they're turning into almost gamblers. So insert NFT. Let's use an NFT. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Or let's insert, you know, investing in wine. You'll hear people that I'm investing in wine or I'm investing in artwork.
Art's hot now.
Okay. And this is all great. But let me draw a parallel to something that I think everybody can understand that will clearly define the difference between what I deem to be investing and what I deem to be more of a gamble. Anybody can go buy real estate, and that's a very hot topic. And there's kind of two ways that you can make money in real estate. Way number one is I go buy an apartment complex or a home, and I did the math and I calculated that day one after I buy this place, I'm going to put a renter in place and I'm going to cash flow positive, meaning I'm going to make money net of all of my expenses from day one. And that means that I have passive income. I'm generating money right out of the gate. Now, the advantage of that is, regardless of whether the house goes up or goes down, as long as inflation keeps on climbing and it's in a good neighborhood, my rents will increase, which means I will continue to make more and more passive income over time, which should be the allure of investing in real estate. However, there are plenty of people that do what I call prospecting real estate, which is, you see that piece of dirt over there? I know urban sprawl is going to reach that at some point. Yeah. I can get it cheap. And at some point, somebody's going to give me millions of dollars for that dirt because it's right by this overpass or whatever the logic is.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is while you might get a big pop down the line, you have carrying costs of the real estate. It's actually costing you money to own that investment till the day you sell it. And then you get this big windfall. Now, there's no, you know, pro or you can't argue that one's better than the other necessarily, because I'm sure you can think of somebody who's done the latter and made a big pop.
I sure can. Right?
However, let's kind of correlate that back to retirement. Well, typically those types of properties are either in an area where somebody goes, I don't believe you, because if everybody believed everything you're saying, the property would already be worth a lot of money, right? So you're kind of going against the grain. Well, let's correlate that back to investing in the market.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different types of stocks you can buy. You can buy the Flyers, the NVIDIAs, the Teslas of the world that have earned a tremendous amount of money this year, but there's been a tremendous amount of volatility. I wouldn't say that that's a predictable income stream at all because they don't pay dividends. You're just buying it and waiting for it to go up and then hopefully selling it for more than you paid for it. But what are you going to do then? Okay, so you sold it. You're going to go and try and find the next one, or what are you going to invest in? What are you going to do to generate income? Are you just going to sell some of it, live off of that, and hope that you don't bleed it out too quickly? That's a challenge. That isn't predictable. It's exciting. It's the opportunity to get, quote, rich overnight, which is what everybody's trying to do these days. But remember what your purpose was. Your purpose was, I'm working in a job to accrue a nest egg so that that nest egg takes care of me for the rest of my life. Well, the opposite of that would be investing in stocks that pay dividends. So I get to live off the dividends. Think of it as the cash flow from that renter.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the stock appreciates, that dividend income also appreciates, and I win over time. One is much more predictable than the other. I think, you know, personally, you should have some of both, but it depends on where you are in life. And I think it's so important that you come up with a plan that's going to generate that passive income for you. And it seems like we've just forgotten all about it.
Yeah. And having a plan is better done when you sit down and really target, you know, the logic behind what the plan is, why you're doing it, understanding the plan. That's what my wife and I gained from our consultation with Josh. You get a free consultation with them as well. Find out if you are a match for them, if their investing philosophy dovetails with your own. 614-917-1040 as a way to approach that appointment. You can also make it online at their website, Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. This is kind of an aside, but when you talk about passive income, I expected there to be a huge hit in commercial real estate after the pandemic. I see some numbers here that it's bad in Chicago, bad in major cities. We hear all the time people are ramping back up, or they're going to go back to work 5 days a week, or there's some people that say managers don't want people back to work 5 days a week. I'm sure you have your eyes on various mutual funds that are heavy into commercial real estate. I think it's doing pretty well here in Central Ohio, but you're obviously invested in vehicles far beyond Central Ohio. Is there a general assessment of commercial real estate? And I suppose if it's down, then there'd be people who are contrarian investors who would look at it and say, well, I'm going to buy it while it's low, and eventually it's going to go back up.
Yeah, you see these ebbs and flows constantly throughout history. And the short answer is certain pockets react much differently than other pockets. For example, you said in Central Ohio, commercial real estate really hasn't taken the hit that it has in some areas. And, you know, not to get a political lean, but if you look at the areas that have been hit the hardest, and then just look at the color of what those areas are.
Those are red cities, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot
Most cities are red. I mean, that's just kind of a general factor.
Yeah, but Chicago isn't.
Chicago is not. New York, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Really.
I'm sorry, I meant blue. I didn't
mean
blue. Red.
Yeah,
I didn't
so mean blue. I meant blue. What we're finding is that, again, I'm always follow the money. If you're a corporation looking to open an office, COVID has forced you into working remote.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody's working remote and you need to have a corporate office, why would you have your corporate office in a state with the highest property and income taxes?
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any sense. You can pick anywhere. Might as well pick somewhere like Nevada that doesn't have taxes.
Sure.
Right? But you know what we look for is, what is the property? What is the forecast for that property? And what does the area look like? So we don't necessarily have to say we're investing in real estate nationwide. We can invest in pockets of not just the area, but also what that real estate does. So for example, and I'm not suggesting that everybody runs out and starts investing in long-term care facilities. However, a very easy thing that you would maybe pay attention to and look at is, we have this generation called the baby boomers that are turning of age every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that there's a 50-50 shot of you and I needing some sort of help in the future in the way of long-term care. That's just the statistics. So if you know that this huge, giant piece of the population is going to be reaching that age, and that is an underfunded or under-capacitied area, that might be an area that you want to invest in. Not something you want to put all your money into, but something that you definitely want to take a peek at.
614-917-1040 to set up your consultation. You can set it up online. Their website at Aptus is APTUS, aptuswealth.com. They're located physically in Lewis Center. It's just off Route 750. They service a lot of clients outside the area. So that's a takeaway from the pandemic that wasn't all bad. Zoom calls, which we all now know how to do. Aptus takes advantage of that. So if you like what you hear and you'd like to have that consultation remotely, It's possible, but for local clients, we'd like to have you in the office, 614-917-1040, right off Route 750. Okay, so we talk a lot about volatility, and we always kind of refer back to this is the best sense or the worst sense or whatever. So there's a lot of historical data out there about how markets have reacted and when recessions happen and when they don't and when economies prosper and when they don't. And I'm just kind of wondering, because we have so many different kind of predictions about what's going to happen right now, is there one kind of investment vehicle that is performing well for everyone? Not that you would put everyone's assets in it to the exclusivity of others, but I just kind of wonder if there is one particular place that's doing well now, or is that driven by whether you are a retiree or whether you are very close to being a retiree?
You know, it's per individual, of course. However, I would say if there's one area of the financial solution economy that we're seeing grow the most, it's this concept of hedged equity.
Okay.
And I'm using, you know, people call it different things. I'm using a broad brushstroke of hedged equity, and that can come across in a myriad of different ways. But essentially, at its core, what hedged equity means is I am hedging against loss to some capacity. And most people are very surprised when I tell them just how specific you can be about that. Now, anytime that you're giving up some downside, you're obviously going to give up some upside. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You got to have a little bit of both. And let me say that in general, over a long period of time, you would be better off just being out in the market. But we have talked many, many times on this show about how for some people, that's just not what they want to do. It's not who they are. It's not what they can tolerate.
Yeah, and two, like if you're 63, you don't want to have everything in growth stocks.
And here we are in an environment where bonds aren't doing that well. So you're saying, you know, let's look at last year, for example. Not including dividends, the S&P 500 was down roughly 20%. The bond index, or the aggregate bond index, was down roughly 13%. So you said, well, hey, I'm a safe investor, so I went 50-50, and you were still down in the high teens. So thanks. I really appreciate you hedging all of my risk. When in reality, you could have played the game this way. And we can talk about, you know, different parts and pieces and different options that are available here. But you can quite literally say, I would like to have the first 10% of the market drop not on me. So if the market goes down 10%, I don't lose any money until it goes down beyond 10%. Or how about 20? Or how about 30? Or how about 40? Or how about if it goes down, I don't want to participate at all in it. Now, obviously, the more risk reduction you have, the less upside potential you have. But sure. I'll give you an example. For some people, not for all, but if you said if the S&P 500 goes up and you're capped at 12%, and I don't know that this is actually an individual
contract.
So that's
the gain you would get, no more than 12.
That's the gain you would get. So if it goes up 20, you only got 12. If it goes up 6, you get 6. You're just capped at 12. But if it goes down, until it goes down 20%, you don't lose a nickel. That might be just the training wheels, if you will, to get your kid comfortable enough to get on the bike, right? Now, I'm not suggesting you do that with all of your money, but it's very shocking to people that you can be that specific. Now, there are a bunch of other things that have, and these are not new concepts, but they're coming out with new solutions from different companies all the time that are big players in the industry. So this isn't like, you know, a bunch of people in their basement coming up with really cool ideas that aren't going to come to fruition. These are also liquid. So some of the arguments that I hear is I understand that I can protect my money, but I got to lock it up forever.
Yeah.
All right. I talked to my insurance agent. He had this really cool idea, but I got to lock it up forever. You don't have to lock it up forever. These are one-year deals in most cases, 1 to 2 year deals. So you're in and out. And even though they're one-year deals, you only have to wait around for 1 year to get all the guarantees I'm talking about. But you can get out before that if you want. So if the market goes down 2%, you don't get the protections of that 10 or 20% protection. But if you needed the money, you could still just take it and run. So it's completely liquid. Now, there are other options that are longer duration that usually the only reason we would go for a longer duration is for some ancillary benefit. For example, if I'm going to give you my money, we've been talking about inverted yield curve, not giving you any money, right? But there are still some companies out there that recognize the value of you giving them your money. If you said, if I lock my money up for the next 10 years and you'll give me a 10% bonus on my money to play the same game I just said, well, all right, well, now I'm listening. That might be a value to me. But I'm not going to just lock my money up for 10 years at the same rates I just said just because you told me to. So when we were talking earlier about what are the available things out there, what looks good, what looks bad, I think the big takeaway is knowing what your choices are and then figuring out how to combine the best choices of the time into the solution that fits you, rather than saying, here's the best thing for everybody, round peg, square hole.
Yeah, and, you know, true confession, this kind of an option, a hedged equity product, was something I didn't know existed, and it was something that was very attractive to my wife and I, given where we are in proximity to retirement. We wouldn't have found out about it if we didn't sit for our free consultation with Josh and the Aptus team. You can do that, 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040, to set that appointment up. And you can also make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. So I can imagine there are some people out there going, wow, I didn't know you could do that. But what's in it for the people who actually have my money? How can I get protected from market losses? Because I know that they're not going to insulate me from a risk that they're not taking. So how does the house, if you will, win on something like that?
Yeah, it's actually a lot simpler than you think. Now, the instruments that they use might sound a little complicated, but I'll explain them in a very simple fashion. So you've probably heard of the concept of options. And options are just simply, I'll use my father-in-law as an example. So he's a farmer. He's been a farmer his whole life, and he plants a field. And when he plants a field, he goes, I'm going to plant corn in this field because corn's currently at X dollars per bushel. But if it goes down to this price, it wasn't even worth me planting the field. So he goes to the grain mill and he says, hey, how much will you charge me to agree to buy 500 bushels of corn off of me for the current price? And they say, give me $2,000, and no matter what happens to corn, I'll buy it off of you for that price. And he goes, okay, well, now at least I know what I'm making and I know what my outlay is. Now, if the price of corn goes up, I promise you my father-in-law is going to take that little slip that says he can make him buy it for this price. He's going to rip it up, throw it in the trash, and forget he ever did it. But if it goes down, he's going to, that's called put, he's going to put it to the grain mill and say, You told me you'd buy it for this, right? Well, similarly, in the financial markets, this type of mechanism is happening all the time. People are betting on, is the market going to go up? Is it going to go down? Is this stock going to go up? Is it going to go down? So what these companies are doing is essentially this. They're taking your money and they're saying, all right, what kind of budget do we need to have to be able to guarantee that if the market goes down by X, we have insulated ourselves? How much upside can we give them? And then let's do all of that, making sure that we get our 1% fee or whatever they decide to calculate. So it's calculated from the very beginning. I promise you they're making money, but the beautiful part is the numbers that they give you are net of all of that. So you don't really care how they're making money. Insurance companies do this all the time. And insurance companies do the calculation the exact same way. They just go out to the same places that you can go directly to if you want. The only benefit to going to an insurance company with the same type of approach is the insurance company has some ancillary benefits that may be beneficial to you. So, for example, if you had money that wasn't in an IRA, this is just money that you got in your savings account right now, and you said, I want to invest this, all the gains inside of an insurance vehicle grow tax-deferred until you use them. So if you're in a high-income tax bracket, there's a benefit to not paying taxes on it today, whereas if you put it in the other version, you get taxed on it. The other benefit would be, well, what if my time here gets cut short? An insurance company might provide you an enhanced death benefit. What if I want income off of this? They might provide you an enhanced income benefit to guarantee income for you for the rest of your life. If none of those benefits are of any value to you, don't go there. But if they are of value to you, the insurance company will also require, typically, that you tie up the money for at least a period of time, usually between 3 and 10 years, and you get to pick. Well, if I'm going to tie my money up for 10 years, you're going to need to give me some pretty good benefits because I don't have to. So you better tell me what they are. And sometimes you'll get huge bonuses, you'll get income benefits, et cetera. So I think this circles us back to what is the best product? It all depends. You had said, you know, spoiler alert, I got involved in some of these things. But I think it's important to note, not that I'm going to give your situation away, but we certainly didn't put all of your money in any one of these things.
No.
You have an amalgam of all of them that work in concert to achieve what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a way to balance risk while reducing risk. That's how I viewed it. I'm not trying to put words in Josh's mouth, but that's how we viewed it, is that we can split it up and not do everything, as he said, in just one of these, but split it up. And, you know, we felt like protect ourselves, but also, you know, be able to participate in some of the gains. Overall, I would say it was just a peace of mind feeling that I felt like a lot more educated, a lot more prepared, a lot more protected. And when you're protected and retirement is, you know, on the horizon, but not around the corner, that peace of mind to me was invaluable. I think you could gain it too by sitting down, having that consultation with Josh and the team. 614-917-1040 if you'd like to set up your no-obligation consultation at Aptus Wealth Management. Visit their office in Lewis Center for that appointment, 614-917-1040. And their Aptus address on the web is aptuswealth.com. So I don't want to get too into the weeds on this, but in the example you gave of your father-in-law, he goes to the granary and he pays them $2,000 for the promise that they'll pay him $5 for his corn, $5 a bushel for his corn. And then you say corn goes up above $5, and so he's going to tear up the option and he's going to sell it for whatever the market rate is. Why would the granary not go to him and say, no, we're not going to pay you $7.50 for it. We've got an agreement to buy it for you for $5.
Yeah, well, from the grain's perspective, the reason they're okay with it is because they're paying that for everybody else's grain, and they made $2,000 for nothing.
Oh, right. I forgot about the $2,000 in their pocket.
Right. So it's a win. And you can actually do this on stocks, by the way. So you could say, I have a stock that I don't think is going to go down, but you think it's going to go down. So I say, all right, I'll sell you the option to buy the stock. It's currently worth $20. I'll sell you the option to buy it at $10. If it goes down to $10, well, then you bought my stock for X, right? But if it doesn't go down, well, I sold you an option. I made money on that, that price, right? So, you know, that's another way where you can increase yield on your stocks. Now, the downside of that is if you do it what we call in our business, and not getting too deep in the weeds, but if we do it in our business, which is what is called selling an option naked or non-covered, it means I don't actually own the stock. So now I'm selling you the option to buy a stock at a certain price that I don't even own. So if you exercise that, well, darn it, now I got to go buy the stock and I got to sell it to you. And now I lose even more. And there's almost unlimited loss there. So it's important as you're playing these games to do one of two things. Either you better know exactly what you're doing, or you better employ a company that knows exactly what they're doing. Because the good news is, and people get very scared about options, and we're certainly not options traders, but in certain times of the economy, there are vehicles that utilize options that can do very, very good things for you and increase your yield, decrease your risk, et cetera. It's just, how do I play in that space?
So I'm very uninformed, not savvy on this at all, but some of this, like people betting, which whatever, on the result of something that's going to happen down the road, feels to me like this is what happens with commodities. Am I right on that or wrong?
Exactly right. Yeah, the options trading, actually the Chicago Board of Options started with commodities. So think of, you know, the price of corn, the price of pork, the price of beef, the price of everything. And that still exists today. And while I said several months ago, I went to the New York Stock Exchange and it's all run by computers. One of the places that is still very much the old school way is the Chicago Board of Trade. I mean, it is still people running around with tickets and it's crazy madness in there. It's very exciting to be there. But I want to convey just one more time, as people are, when you say the word option, it usually, if you know what it is, it strikes a feeling in people where they go, ah, sounds risky. That's crazy. And it is. I'm not saying that it's not. We certainly do not buy and sell options, and we are not options trader. That is a very, very risky thing to do. However, you can utilize options for their intended purpose, not for the get rich quick scheme purpose, but for their intended purpose to help hedge your positions against loss. And that's the only way that we use them, is either increasing yield through some income by using positions we already have, or by covering positions that we already have.
Yeah, we started this conversation by talking about hedged equity products. And honestly, that's a name where I was kind of like, okay, what are we going to talk about? Hedged equity products. And then as we were talking about it, I'm like, oh, that's what I have. And so, you know, Josh and his team do a really good job of explaining things in a way that you can understand them. And I would say for me, I needed to understand something before I could have confidence in executing it. We gained that understanding through our consultation with them. That's why we became clients. I'd highly recommend you do the same. You're not obligated to become a client, but, you know, I would tend to think you'd want as much good information as you can get it, particularly when there's no obligation on your part or on theirs. You can set that consultation up by calling Aptus at 614-917-1040. You can make your appointment via the web. Their web address is Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Josh joins me every Monday, 12:35 p.m. on The Bruce Hooley Show, 98.9 The Answer. Those shows are archived on our site and on Josh's. They're located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750. It's not far from 23. and 270. The show re-airs tomorrow at noon. If you missed something you want to hear again, that's when to hear it. Josh, we'll see you again next week.
You as well. Thanks, Bruce.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.